The Bible says to be ready in season and out of season. So when the pastor asks you to do something, you have to be ready and prepared. God called me to preach about 4 years ago, and it's strange. I don't like being in front of people, but you have to be obedient anyway.
Amen.
What we're going to look at today is something that can help us in all of our lives if we just be obedient to it. It's tempests and storms in our lives and how they affect us and how we can overcome them. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Stand for the reading of God's Word, please. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him and to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Dear Father in heaven, we all have doubts in our minds, but your word alleviates that. It clears it away if we just call upon the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what we're looking at today. What Jesus said, "O thou of little faith," and that's what he meant too, because he said, if you've got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. Now, Peter's faith, it might have been small, it might have been waning, it might have been what the Bible calls faint-hearted, but Jesus didn't say that was a sin. Nowhere in the Bible did he say your faith draining away is a sin. He just wants you to build it back up. That's what he wants you to do. And we can look at some things here, and the first thing that we see is Peter wanted proof right there, he said. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now that comes out of 1 John 4:1, where it says, try the Spirit, try every spirit. And that's what we need to do in our lives, is to learn these precepts in the Bible. 1 John 4:1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And that's what he done right here. There was a spirit walking on the water, and Peter tried it. He said, "Lord, if it be thou, if it be you, if it be of God, then let me walk on the water." He tried that spirit to make sure of where it was from. Because, remember, the Bible says Satan was transformed to an angel of light. He deceived a lot of people, and that's what we need to do. We need to try the spirits of people around us. We need to try our own spirits, see what's inside of us. And that's what drags our faith down, is doubt in our spirit. That's right. It drags it down, it makes it weak, and we can get our focus off of Jesus Christ just like Peter did here. He said, "Lord, if it be thy will, let me walk on the water." And he got out of that ship and he walked on the water. And he was walking toward Jesus. His focus was on him. Just like when we're a new Christian, our focus is 100% on Jesus Christ. But how long does it take before we're looking around? And that's what Peter's showing us. He started looking around and his waves were slapping on the ship and he could hear the wind blowing. You know that he's seen Jesus' hair and clothes just blowing everywhere. And he started looking around. His focus got off of Jesus Christ and he started to sink. He started to drift back down from where he came from. You know something? There's something in here that we need to look at. He could have turned around and back paddled to that boat. Man made safety. But he didn't. That wouldn't help him at all. He hollered out for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the safety was, and Peter knew it. They were safety in the arms of Jesus Christ. And he said immediately he reached down his hand and saved him. And that's what we remember in our life. It don't matter what we do, how weak we get, if we call on the name of the Lord, He'll strengthen us. He'll take us up in His bosom, just like John, the beloved John, was always laying on the bosom of Jesus. We can get that close too if we want to. And that's what this is. You know, tempest storms, they're out on the ocean for one reason, I believe. If you're out on the ocean, how many have been on the ocean? You can't hide from a storm. You know, there's no place to hide. You have to face it. You have to face that storm. There's two things about navigation on the water that you have to know. If a big storm comes up and you run away from it, it'll sink the ship. If you get around it, it'll roll that ship over. The only safe thing to do in a storm is to face it head on. Remember, the full armor of God is only for our faith.
Amen.
It's not for the back. Yep. If we turn tail and run, Satan's going to get us.
Yep.
The only way to fight our battles is head on.
Amen.
Go right into it. If God is with us, who can be against us?
Amen.
The basic principles, the promises of God will help us in our daily lives.
Right.
And some people in this room, I'm sure, has faced some terrible storms and tempests in their lives. I mean, I'm no doubt about that. And we can draw strength from them. All you have to do is talk to them, and they can tell you stuff. They just leaned on the Lord harder and harder, draw nigh to Him, and they came through it. They came through it all right. If we lose our focus on Jesus Christ and let that storm overtake us, we're going to be an old, bitter, backslid Christian, ain't we? That's what we're going to be. And it's all up to us. Every bit of it's up to us. And then Mark, this is the same story. Remember, these disciples just came from feeding the 5,000. They've seen that miracle. And here they are, Jesus walking on the water. And then Mark 6:52, it says a strange thing in here. And that's the way we are too. Mark 6:52 says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Their heart was hardened. Why do you think that is? Our heart can get hardened even though we don't know it. Little old things creep in, it gets harder and harder and harder, just like hardening of the arteries. You don't know it's happening until some disaster happens. Until you just can't take another step, you pass out, you can't breathe or nothing else. And that's what Jesus was telling these disciples. He's saying, look, we just came back from feeding the 5,000. You've seen the miracles. A few loaves and fishes made 12 baskets. A fragment. You've seen that, and now you don't believe nothing I do. Here he was walking on the water, and Peter was the only one that really done anything, ain't he? But Peter started sinking too. His focus got off the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord right here says, "Oh, ye of little faith." And that's the way we are. We're not strong as we think we are. Anything, the least little old thing, we just fly apart. We sure do. We're going to look at Mark 4:35. Because these storms, they're going to come. They're either coming, going, or we're in the midst of them. Mark 4:35. "And the same day when even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat to the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, perish thou not that we perish?" If we're a child of God, do you think He cares if we perish or not? He sure does. But my friends, it's up to us. You know, the Bible tells us if we'll draw nigh to God, our part, He'll draw nigh to us. It's our decision. We have to do that on our own. And the thing about it is, sometimes we just don't want to do that, do we? We just think it's too much trouble to try to draw nigh to God. But my friend, when the storm comes and we're not ready, we're not all prayed up. We got all this sin in our lives. Guess what? It's just like here. Jesus might be asleep on us. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to be asleep on us, but we might perceive that our prayers may not get to Him. Or it may take something else. It may take something else to get there. And it says right here in verse 36 that there was other little ships with Him. There was other little ships there. And in 1 Timothy 1:19, our life, if we let sin and stuff get into it, it's called a shipwreck. So we're kind of a picture of ships on the sea. 1 Timothy 1:19. And it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And those little old ships on there might have been shipwrecked Christians. They were Christians, but they were backslid. They didn't believe, and their faith was almost all gone. And there they was facing a storm. The storm hadn't hit yet, but they were facing it. They was going out to face it. They was going out on the water, going to the other side. And in Mark 4, 37, and there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Is our ship, has it ever been full of stuff? Has it ever been full of worries and doubts? Has it ever been full of storms that we just can't do nothing else? That's what he's telling us here. The ship was full. The ship here was full of water because the waves were coming over the side. It was actually what they call floundering. It was being sunk from the waves, not from a hole in the bottom. And that's the way our ship is, ain't it? Just things pour in from all over, especially from up here in our head. And the most important thing is from our heart.
Amen.
We let our faith get a little bit weak, and just things just pour in, and it consumes us. It just takes over. And in James 1:6, it talks about being tossed to and fro. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And that's what we're talking about here, ain't it? The tempest and the storms on the sea and the little old ships floating about. And that's the way we are.
Amen.
If we let doubt come into our mind, if we doubt the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, if we doubt that God Almighty can keep us in His power, if we doubt our salvation, then we're doubting ourselves, ain't we?
Amen.
God gave us the faith we need to do His job, whatever that is. And we are the ones that makes it known. We're the ones of unbelief. We don't believe it. That's how our faith gets weak. We just don't believe it. We don't believe what God gives us can bring us through the bad parts. And what can we do about all this stuff? Just what can we do? Now, this is a poem about a tempest. It brings out an idea about this that you can't hardly tell. We were crowded in the cabin, not a soul would dare to sleep. It was midnight on the waters, and a storm was on the deep. 'Tis a fearful thing in winter to be shattered by the blast, and to hear the rattling trumpet thunder cut away the mast. So we shuddered there in silence, for the strongest held his breath, while the hungry sea was roaring and the breakers talked with death. As thus we sat in darkness, each one busy in his prayers, we are lost, the captain shouted as he staggered down the stairs. But his little daughter whispered as she took his icy hand, isn't God upon the ocean just the same as on the land? Then we kissed the little maiden and we spoke in better cheer, and we anchored safe in harbor when the morn was shining near. That's what we need to do. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says to call upon the Lord. 29:13. And ye shall seek him and find him, when ye shall search for him with all your heart.
Amen.
The storm's coming up on our lives. We need to search and find the Lord in our heart. That's what this is saying right here. When that storm's raging, we need to have the peace and joy of the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the only way we can do that is our daily life, our daily prayer, our daily workings, our daily searching the Scriptures for the face of Jesus Christ. And He'll be right there. When we call on His name, we'll be just like Peter. He'll immediately reach down and pick us up out. He'll help us up.
But
we've got to have an open communications to it. We have to have that. In Mark 4:38, it says, "And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." He was in the back part of the ship asleep. Now what does that mean? Now these people here, it says, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Do you think that they were keeping quiet? The ship was being filled with water? No, they wasn't being quiet. They was hollering and screaming going on, and they was bailing. They was bailing that water out trying to survive this storm. And you know they was calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because He was back there. And they was hollering at Him. They was bailing and hollering, "Jesus, come help us!" Bailing. You know they was. They wasn't quiet. But why did they have to do something else? They had to go wake Him up, see? That's something else that they had to do. They were praying to Him, but they had to do something else too. You see, He wasn't asleep back there to torment them. He was asleep back there maybe to test them. Maybe it was a test of their faith. Maybe He just wanted to show them He could be with them and they could still be in a tempest. You see? And they had to do something else. And that something else is in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 and 5. "In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting." Fasting, that's the key to it right there. Fasting don't mean not to eat. That's a diet. Fasting means you're praying in supplication, you're reading your Bible, you're seeking the Lord so hard that you don't eat. Remember? When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, he fasted 2 and 3 times a week religiously. But Jesus still told him, "You must be born again."
Right.
Fasting won't get you to heaven, but it sure will help us in our daily lives. It'll help us. Maybe a little pride comes in. You know that we can, any sort of pride God looks down upon, if we think of ourselves as a proud Christian, God looks down upon that because pride is moving in there. Because what are we saying? "Look at what I can do. Look what I've done for the Lord. Yeah, I done it all myself. Yep. I wrote the book here and I preach it and I go out and do all this on my own." You know, the book says that Jesus is the Word of God manifest in the flesh. And that's where our salvation lies. Our salvation is held by God in His power, not in our. We don't have the power to receive our salvation. We don't have the power to lose it. It's in God's hands.
That's right.
So when a little bit of pride comes in our lives, fasting can humble our soul.
Yes.
In Psalm 35:13, fasting does a lot for us. 35:13. "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humble my soul with fasting, and my prayer turned into my own bosom." Maybe something's in our lives that we just don't want there. And the Lord's not hearing our prayers. Maybe there's something just too big for us to handle. And the Lord wants us to do something else, just like those people. They went back there and they had to wake Jesus up, laying on that pillow. Why? He wanted them to do something else. "And He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake Him and said unto Him." They awake Him. That tells me that the whole crew, the ship was sinking, folks. The whole crew went back there and woke Him up. The whole crew knew they had to do something more than just pray and holler for Jesus. There was something more to do. In Matthew 17:14, this is a good example for us. chapter 17, start with verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and oft into the water. He just flops around, just falling everywhere, getting burnt, almost drowning, everything in the world. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Wow, ain't that something? The disciples, they raised the dead. Did you know that? It says in here that Peter, when his shadow passed over people, they were healed. When that woman touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, her blood issue was healed. Elias just laid on a boy and he was healed. Now all of that don't mean anything, does it? The clothes of Jesus, the shadow of Peter, the body of Elias, that didn't heal those people. It was the power of God.
Amen.
It was the power of God that healed those people. And they believed it. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, Because of your unbelief. There's a little bit of trying on their faith right there. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Fasting has a place in our life, and it's up to us to do it. If we want to grow as Christians, to grow more powerful in our Christian life, then we have to use the tools.
Amen.
And fasting is a tool given by God. And fasting can help you in your prayer, Luke 2:37. It can help you in your confession, Nehemiah 9:1-2. It can help you in your mourning. You lose a loved one, Joel 2:12. It can help you in your humiliation, Nehemiah 9:1. You can avoid display, avoid drawing yourself as the focus of anything.
Amen.
In Matthew 6:16. It'll help you remember God, Zechariah 7:5-7. It'll chasten the soul, Psalm 69:10. It'll humble the soul, Psalm 35:13. And it'll help us consider the true meaning of being a Christian, Isaiah 58:1-14. So maybe there's a storm in our life, and it's raging right now. Maybe we just got out of one. Or maybe we see one coming in one of our loved ones' lives, or a neighbor, or a friend, somebody. And that storm's going to be big because we can see it building.
Amen.
You know, you can see a storm coming off that old big old gray thunder head looking thing, that old dark gray thing coming at us, that old angry cloud. And that's going to ravage us. And Satan's just like that. The Bible says, Satan as a roaring lion walketh to and fro looking for a soul to devour.
Amen.
We're never safe from him. Those storms is going to rage in somebody's life around us. And when somebody asks you, would you pray for me? Are you able? Are you able to get the job done? Are we prayed up in our daily life? Are we ready to go to war against Satan for somebody else? Do we have the full armor of God on to protect us? The storms and tempests is coming. It don't matter what we think about them. They're going to be here anyway. And the only way to fight them is through the power of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And he said right there, some storms, some problems going to be so big, prayer and fasting, that's the only way to get through them.
Amen.
So friends, right now, so we have a song. If there's a storm in your life and you're having trouble with it, just get it settled right now. If you want to have deeper, more satisfying fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, come to him right now. Whatever it is that's hindering us, let's get it out of our lives so we'll be prepared for the storms that assail us. Assaults come in every form. and it don't matter what we think we are. And some people, even Christians, try to fight them on their own.
Right.
You fight them battles and you go on and it drags you down. It makes you doubt your faith. It makes you come to a conclusion that maybe I'm not saved. You see, our salvation is not in our hands, it's in the Lord's hands. And doubt is a powerful motivator. It's a powerful tool used by Satan to make us do nothing. If we doubt our own faith, how can we help others come to learn? So if you've lost your focus on Jesus Christ, maybe you need to get it back. Today is the day to do that. Today is the day to say to yourself, I'm going to be a stronger Christian. Maybe I'm just going to go home and start fasting. The Bible teaches us how to fast and what it's all about. It teaches the statutes and commandments that God put down about it. It'll really help us. Maybe there's a little pride in us. We need to get that out. We need to get that out fast. It'll grow. Knowledge puffeth up, and God humbles us.
Amen.
And if we can't be a humble servant, we sure can't be a proud one, can we?
Right.
So, with every... let's stand and sing just as I am.
Number 187.
There's anything in your heart you want to get it out, now's the time to do it. You can be just like Peter, thinking a little bit, call upon his name and he'll help you out. If he was just too proud to ask of Jesus to help him, just after he was walking on the water, that can happen to us in our Christian lives. We can be going along strong, doing the best we can, and stumble and fall. Paul said to beat down the flesh, to humble it, to crucify the flesh daily. It's the only way we can walk with the Lord. You know, Jesus receives us just like we are, just as I am, with that one plea, an old sinner. That's the way we need to receive Jesus Christ, just as He is, full of love, compassion, and righteousness. Said, I come. Are we willing to go? with every head bowed and every eye shut. Lord, Father in heaven, we pray today that this message will touch hearts and lives like you want it to. Let the Holy Spirit have liberty to move in people's hearts and lives. And Lord, if there's any lost people here, let them come forth today and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. Because nobody wants to face a storm in a lost condition. And you can talk to people that's faced severe storms, and it's a horrible thing to go through. Hey, some real bad storms can happen in their life, and they're happening all around us now. All kinds of disease and things is going on, and we need the peace and joy that only the love of God can bring to us. If there's anybody here that's lost, let them, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Maybe we can't wait for tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. Today is the day. But Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the example set forth in your Bible. And Lord, just bless everybody here and give them traveling mercies going home. And let us have a good day to celebrate the day of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.